Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. This is U.S. National Elections 2020. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. My co-host, Robert Logan Pope, is on his way into the studio. Today's show is about who is running for President of the United States of America in 2020 and why. There is a field of almost about 23 candidates, 23 Democrats, actually, and two Republicans running for President of the United States. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to go through everybody's talking points today, but this is the beginning where we're going to talk about and mention all that are running and keep you current, and then we're going to break down with different segments and start talking about the issues that each candidate brings to the table. As we are waiting for my co-host to come into the studio, I'm going to start talking about the 23 Democrats and two Republicans. There are also four people that might run, and then there's two people that are unlikely are running, and we're going to talk about the people who are definitely not going to run. Let's quickly go through the list of candidates who is not running so we clear that field up right away. Okay. Not running for president is Michael Bloomberg. I guess he bowed out. Sherrod Brown, Senator from Ohio, former congressman. Bob Casey, Senator from Pennsylvania, is not running. Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State, is not running. Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, is not running. Eric Holder is not running. The former Attorney General, Terry McAuliffe, former governor of Virginia, former chairman of the Democratic National Committee, is not running. Jeff Merkel, senator from Oregon, is not running. Christopher Murphy, senator from Connecticut, is not running. Richard Ojeda, former West Virginia state senator, is not running. Deval Patrick, former governor of Massachusetts, is not running. Tom Steyer is not running. Oprah Winfrey is not running. Okay, let's jump right into our list of candidates that are running this year. Okay. We have Michael Bennett, who is running, senator from Colorado. We have Joe Biden, who just threw his hat in the ring a few weeks ago, who is the former vice president of the United States. Cory Booker, U.S. senator from my home state, is throwing his hat in the ring. Steve Bullock, governor of Montana, former state attorney general, is running, Democrat. Pete Buttigieg, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, military veteran, is running. Julian Castro, former housing secretary and former mayor of San Antonio, is running. Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, is running. John Delaney, former congressman of Maryland, former businessman, is running. Tulsi Gabbard, a congresswoman from Hawaii, an Army National Guard veteran. Christian Gillibrand, a U.S. senator from New York and former congresswoman, is running. Kamala Harris, U.S. senator from California and former attorney general of California and former San Francisco district attorney. John Heckenlooper, it's a new name, a former governor of Colorado and former mayor of Denver. John Inslee, governor of Washington State, former congressman. Amy Gopichar, senator from Minnesota. She's running. Wayne Messam, mayor of Miramar, Florida, is running. Seth Moulton, congressman out of Massachusetts, an Iraq war veteran, is running. Beto O'Rourke, former congressman out of Texas, is running, and he's also a 2018 Senate candidate. Tim Ryan, congressman from Ohio, is running. Bernie Sanders, senator from Vermont. Eric Swalwell, congressman out of California. Elizabeth Warren, U.S. senator from Massachusetts. Marianne Williamson, new name into the field, self-help author, New Age lecturer. Andrew Yang, former tech exec who founded an economic development nonprofit. Donald J. Trump, our U.S. president, U.S. Developer, and reality TV star. William Weld, former governor of Massachusetts and former federal prosecutor, is running. Those who might run for president, Democratic former 2018 Democratic nominee for governor of Georgia, former state senator Stacey Abrams. Howard Schultz, former chief executive of Starbucks, is running. Larry Hogan, governor of Maryland, might run. John Kasich, former governor of Ohio, also former 2016 presidential candidate. So those who might run, unlikely to run, John Kerry, former Secretary of State, and Mitch Landrieu, former mayor of New Orleans, is unlikely to run as well. We have a field of a ton of individuals running, like I said, right now, who have filed in the election with the Federal Election Commission. At this point are 25 candidates, 23 Democrats, 2 Republicans. At this time, that's 25 people. We'll probably break those down into categories of probably 5 people apiece in a 5 different span, a 5 different episode span of talking about their positions on all of these issues so we can inform America on where all of these candidates stand. So today is an introduction of all the candidates, who might run, who isn't running, and who will run. And we will move forward to break that down and cover their topics and issues. The second half of the program, we will be able to go into talking a little bit about the candidates and their positions. Okay, in the studio, I believe right now this is my co-host Robert Logan on the air.
Yes, that's me, big guy.
Okay, welcome to the show. I explained to America that you're running a little bit behind. What I did just far until you came onto the studio was I explained to America about the 23 Democrats running, the 2 Republicans running, the people that were unlikely to run, and the people who are not running or who might run. Just went through that whole list of candidates. And I was just also talking about that what we're going to do is for our next 5 shows, we're going to break down 5 candidates since there's 25 at this time. We'll pick 5 candidates, and that'll be 5 episodes, where we'll break down the 5 candidates and talk about a little bit more in detail each candidate and their issues. So that is where we are right now. I do have something prepared, unless you want to share insight on some of the candidates. I have a list up of a summary of just a brief talking points, Rob. Just to give you a flavor of what I have before me, like I mentioned, Michael Bennett, senator from California, one of his quotes is, "We cannot be the first generation to leave less to our kids, not more. That's why I'm running for president. Let's build opportunity for every American and restore integrity to our government." So these are some of the quotes that I have for each candidate running. If you want to jump in and if you want to share a little bit about some candidates, that'll be fine. As a matter of fact, I've been into the show now 10 minutes, so if you want to jump in and say anything or lend anything to the conversation, please jump in and I'll give you a few moments to talk to America.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you, actually, for letting me speak for just for a second. But before I do that, what specifically have you gone up? Because when I come in to the broadcast, you were discussing how this is going to be an introduction. Have you actually gone over the candidates yet, or which ones have you gone over?
Okay. What I did was is I told them today was an introduction of all the candidates, meaning what I did was is I went through the whole – I mentioned the whole list of all candidates that have formally – filed with the Election Commission, the 25. I also mentioned who might run, the two Democrats and two Republicans, Stacey Abrams, Schultz, and so on. And then I said who's unlikely to run, which was Kerry and Landau. And then I also mentioned the 12 or 15 candidates that who are not running, like Oprah Winfrey, Michael Bloomberg, Casey, Clinton, Garcetti, Holder. So I mentioned those candidates that are Winfrey that are definitely not running. So I covered the general of the candidates that are running. I didn't get into any specificity on the candidates because I explained to our new listeners that this is going to be an overview of the candidates. And then we'll get into hopefully a five series episodes talking about in more detail the five candidates. And then, of course, you know, I could take you could take three candidates. I could take the two candidates. And then we'll share with the American people and let them decide. So that's where we're at right now, Rob.
Okay. Not a problem. I'm actually looking at it right now. And the insights I have at the moment are somewhat that this field is probably more, I guess, similar to a clown car of individuals, because this is the biggest field of Democratic candidates that we've ever seen. I mean, we thought that the Republican field in 2016 was big. We had 17 candidates, and we had them from all walks of life. You had Marco Rubio, Donald Trump, who no one gave a chance to win, Ted Cruz, and seasoned politicians like Jeb Bush, who his name really hurt him. You also had, I think it was Rudolph Giuliani, Chris Christie, so many different people. But this year, it's completely taken the cake. It really has. And you've got guys from, you know, like you said, Bennett, Biden, Booker, Buttigieg, I think is what his name is, Castro, de Blasio. These different people have come from obviously different walks of life, but Biden talks about problems in Washington. This guy is a problem in Washington. The guy's been there for 36, I think, so maybe even 42 years, I think, because he was a senator for 36 and he was vice president for 8. And the top job of the vice president is to preside over the U.S. Senate. So, I mean, he's been there for that long, and yet, you know, he's talking about the problems in Washington. You've got Harris, who is almost a cartoon character. Well, she's less of a cartoon character than Biden. She wants to declare a national emergency and take your guns and say that cops are going to be at your door, trying to get your Second Amendment rights. Biden, I don't think he's taking too much of a stand on anything, really.
Robert, he did take a stand.
Yeah.
The 1994 crime bill that did mass incarceration of African American and Hispanics.
Well, he's not taking a stand in the 2020 election. Yeah, he took a stand against the black community in 1994. Since then, has been trying to almost hide from it. I think he has really, for the most part, hidden from it. But then again, him and Bill Clinton are right there, because they signed some of the most stringent laws that has affected the black community. In such, you've got so many African-American men going to prison for a long period of time because of this bill, because of this law that these people have passed and signed. And yet Republicans right now are the ones who get called racists. And it's, you know, you had one guy from Connecticut who voted for it in the Senate. You had another guy from Arkansas who's president, and he signed it into law. I mean, where's the accountability here? There's none. But, you know, Trump is the racist? Okay, not really. And then you've got you know, Bernie Sanders, who wants to hike up your taxes, O'Rourke right now, who he couldn't even beat Ted Cruz in Texas. What makes him think he's going to run for president? It's just fun to watch this. And truthfully, I think that 2020 is going to be an interesting year, but I think that we're going to end up with a Biden-Harris ticket, and it's going to be Biden-Harris versus Trump-Pence, and I don't see President Trump losing this race.
I can't see with the type of economy that Trump has, just the economy in and of itself, that he's going anywhere.
Yeah.
The interesting part is the amount of Democrats that are running. It appears to be
mm-hmm.
that they are a divided party.
They are. They're a completely divided party. They are in a mess. In 2016, everybody knew that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Hillary Clinton was the odds-on favorite. She was, I think, 70% to win the presidency on election night. And then slowly but surely, when Trump was winning close in the swing states, he even won in Wisconsin and Michigan, two states that Obama won back-to-back from 2008 to 2012. So he took those states from her. He took those states from Democrats. And he basically – now, you can say what you want to about him, some of the things that he said, some of the things that he's done. But the treatment of this man – and I was not his biggest fan to start off with. But the fact of the matter is the treatment of Donald Trump since his inauguration has been absolutely outlandish. The media has been going all over the Mueller report and trying to, the Mueller report basically exonerated Trump. There was no obstruction. He didn't obstruct justice. He was telling Bob Barr to go ahead and just, was it Bob Barr or Bill Barr?
I'm sorry, say that again, sir?
The attorney
Bennett?
General.
The attorney, from where? I'm the sorry, attorney. The attorney, Bennett? No.
The U.S. Attorney General.
I'm sorry.
What's his first name? Under Trump.
Barr?
Let's see. Yeah. What's his first name?
William Barr.
Okay, William Barr. So basically,
I had
Bill
a
Barr
brain
to,
a brain seizure for a minute.
William
Barr.
I was blanking on that. Yeah. But he gives him full declassifying authority, and they're trying to hold him in contempt. But he's smiling and waving. He was joking with Nancy Pelosi and asked her if she brought her handcuffs with her. It was funny to watch, just because he's got the authority to declassify. Trump gave it to him, so he can go ahead and declassify. And Trump's not scared of this, because not only is the economy pretty much going Trump's way. We've had economic performances under this president that we never, I mean ever, had under Obama. Our annual rate of growth is what, 3.8%, 3.9%? We now have more jobs in the economy than there are people to work them. That was never anything we had under Obama. Not one time did we ever have more jobs than there were people to work them. Now, The labor market is eating it up. Depending on what state you're in, if you're in New York, you're going to have some problems, because it's a horrible state to own a business in, especially a small business. California, I just wouldn't live there if you put a gun to my head or paid me. And other states where Democrats pretty much have had the rule for so long, you can tell the difference between those states and states where Republicans rule, who are in government. So you've got a Democratic governor here in North Carolina who is a monster. I hate to say this, but the fact of the matter is we had this born alive bill here in North Carolina that if a baby survives an abortion, that you are required, that a doctor would be required to treat it. And that was going to be law. Well, he vetoed it. You have to be – it seems like in order to be a Democrat, you have to be so far to the left, you're almost invisible to the center. So in the North Carolina legislature, we lost a supermajority here, the Republicans did. And when we're discussing this, we needed to be able to override his veto, and it's going to take the Republicans regaining the supermajority to get that, to be able to pass that law. But hopefully we'll be hopefully the state – of North Carolina won't reelect Governor Cooper, because honestly, he is dreadful as a governor. So, going back to the national elections, these people who are so far to the left, they're left of center, but because of our Republican legislature here, we now have we're tops in business friendliness. We've got jobs coming here from all over the country. We've got surpluses in our legislature, our budgets, and we're absolutely killing it economically and all over the country. Now, while we don't have the U.S. House, while the Republican Party doesn't have the U.S. House anymore, we still have the Senate, and the Republicans still have the White House. We still see a ton of economic performances that we've not seen before, not in many years. So it's something that it's something that I think is just going to end up reelecting Trump just on economic performance alone. But I also think if we hold up these Democratic candidates and show these people who they really are and what they're really coming for, then President Trump's probably just going to end up walking right back into the White House pretty easily. I just don't see him losing.
Impossible. And you know, the ironic part is that Trump got elected in 2016 as a non-establishment from the Republican and Democratic side. It appears that the Democrats are trying to seize on taking advantage of trying to do something different to try to upset him. But all they're demonstrating on the Democratic side is just their ability not to come together as a party with so many different candidates and so many different views, that there are challenges with their own party on where they stand, even with impeachment. Some are calling for impeachment, some are not, which personally I think is a ridiculous position, because he didn't break any laws that we know of. And if he did break any laws, then we would have known about it. Whether they could have indicted him or not, they would have still said he broke this law. He didn't. So it's
he
unfortunate
didn't. I mean,
at this time.
The investigation was for 2 years.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that
it cost $25 million.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said the investigation was for 2 years. Robert Mueller was investigating the man for 2 years. He investigated the White House. He investigated his campaign. There were illegal warrants issued based on fake dossiers against President Trump. And now Bill Barr is about to start investigating that. And I think that's probably what's gotten some Democrats, quite a few Democrats, are very up in arms now, because if the Russians were involved, then it seems more like they were involved with the Democrats, not Republicans. And you also had individuals who are who abused the FISA warrant process, who were basically their cell phone data, their text messages have been subpoenaed, and Lindsey Graham used their explicit language in the chamber, which I've not seen this out of Lindsey Graham defending not only President Trump but also his Supreme Court nominees. So you've got this clown car of Democratic candidates that we're going to start off with here very soon, with I guess the two top candidates at the moment, which I think right now, let's see. Presidential. So Biden and Sanders, really. Those are the top two right now. Biden, I couldn't tell you how problematic this guy is. I mean, he's got issues a mile long. I mean, you might as well just call him Groping Joe Biden, because the guy is about as creepy as it gets. But the Democrats don't think that should, and even Bernie Sanders came to his defense, saying that he needs to that it shouldn't prevent him from running or disqualify him. But if a Republican had done that, they'd been all over him. He's a creep. He's done this, done that. The stuff that they were saying about President Trump in 2016, when he made some inappropriate comments, but he's not the one grabbing on kids, people's children. And it's just, what are we talking about here, But you got Bernie Sanders, who again defended Biden, and some of his actions. I don't think he didn't defend them, but he did say that it should disqualify him from presidential contention. But Joe, this guy Sanders never had a real job. I think his first paycheck came when he was mayor of Burlington. So that was his first paycheck. Before then, he was on government assistance. And then he became Congressman Sanders, which Vermont has one representative elected statewide, just like their two U.S. senators, because of their small population. And then he became Senator Sanders and wrote a best-selling book. Now, the funny thing is, he's made all of his money in politics and writing a book. And this guy, he talks about millionaires and billionaires, and he hates them. But now he's a millionaire, so he's not going to apologize for him being a millionaire and writing a book. But other people should apologize for being successful when he doesn't want to? Are you kidding me?
Rob, we are going to move forward. We want to stay on top of the candidates in the national elections. The show is almost at a close. We gave the American people a sense of what's going on, and the candidates started running. Because we're at a close, I want everybody to tune in and look for our updates at U.S. National Elections 2020 on Facebook for future updates. And we will come back with some more specificity. We're going to come back and talk about five specific candidates and what their positions are for the American people. We want to thank everybody for listening today and joining us. Stay tuned and listen for updates. Rob, I want to thank you for coming into the studio and co-hosting the show with me and helping us to bring the American people the information that they need that the mainstream media is not giving them, the truth and real facts. So as we move forward, we will do that, and we will give them the information so they could make a sensible decision on who to vote for. So I want to thank my audience. I want to thank everybody for listening today. And I also want to thank my co-host, Robert Logan, for joining me at U.S. National Elections. We want to thank everyone for listening again. God bless America. Keep us safe, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.